watching YouTubes. Yeah. It's all sorts of ways to waste time now. You know, the more efficient we become with technology, the more adept we become at wasting time. You know, it used to be that, like, when you were working on a project, you would just, like, go from, you finish that, and then you go to the next thing, and then you go to the next thing. Now I've got, like there's, like, email, Skype, cell phone, you know, and multiple projects open at the same time on my computer. It's like if I can devote, you know, 15 to 20 seconds to one thing at a time as you kind of go back and forth, you know, it's like you can be like, you know, I worked all day and I don't know what I accomplished. That's how it feels sometimes. Anyway, it is therefore, so we're looking at, now we're talking about our reward from Hashem. He says, it is therefore necessary that we should be zealous to do good. There it is again, zealous to do good. For all things come from Him. Zealous to do good. I said we'd talk about that. He warned us through the first part of the book not to be zealous, not to let zealousness destroy us and create jealousy and baseless hatred and that sort of thing. But He wants us to be zealous for good. This corresponds to what we read in the book of Acts regarding the Jewish believers, where James says, look at them, myriads and myriads, all of them zealous for the Torah. Or we could look at, Titus, someone look this up for me, Titus chapter 2, verse 14. And someone else can look 1 Peter 3, 13 up.
Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, zealous to do His bidding.
Okay, so why has the Master purified us to make us a people zealous to do good works? Zealous.
Ephesians 2:10.
What?
Ephesians 2:10.
Sure, there you are.
God's workmanship.
Yep. Ephesians 2:10. Who has that 1 Peter reference? Okay.
How far do you want to go?
Just the one verse, 1 Peter 3:13.
And who will see you will harm you if you become followers of what is good?
Zealous for what is good, I think, is what my version said. Yeah. If you are zealous for what is good. All right, so here's the thing. We keep saying good works, good deeds, good works, zealous for what is good. You know, and that we should be doing our work of righteousness and these good deeds and that sort of thing. What you have to know for sure is that this is just a Jewish idiom. This is a Jewish way of talking about the mitzvot of the Torah, the commandments of the Torah. A good deed is not, good deeds, gemilat chasidim, good acts of loving kindness, those are all good deeds. But a good deed in Jewish vernacular and apostolic vernacular, it, like when the Master says, let your deeds shine before men, and that sort of thing, we're not just talking about any act of good, like, I washed the dishes, or whatever. But rather, we're speaking specifically of the commandments of the Torah. Now, if you have a commandment, you can hook your good deeds up to the commandments. I washed the dishes. If I washed the dishes for Beth Emmanuel, you know, this is... Yeah. Now we're talking a mitzvah, right?
Will this stand?
That's right. Yeah, it's going to stand. Yep.
You want one more passage?
Sure, one more passage.
Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
All right, so this is the same language, labor, work, deeds. When we're talking about the service of Hashem, we're talking about the commandments, keeping the commandments. So, he says, remember last week we were learning about the resurrection and the reward of the righteous, the resurrection. This week we're learning about being righteous. For he forewarns us, behold, the Lord comes, and his reward is with him, to pay each one according to his work. He quotes from Isaiah. It's also quoted in Revelation. This is, in fact, the way the whole New Testament ends on this verse, or right around this verse. Behold, the Lord comes, his reward is with him, to pay each one according to his work. All right? So, he exhorts us, therefore, who believe in him with our whole heart. We believe with our whole heart. Not to be idle or careless about any good work. Let our boasting and our confidence be in him. Let us submit ourselves to his will. Let us consider the host of angels, for example, how they stand by and serve his will. For scripture says 10,000 times 10,000 stood by him and thousands of thousands served him, says this in Daniel. And they cried out, as it says in Isaiah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, all creation is full of his glory. Let us also then, being gathered together in harmony with intentness of heart, that's kavana, with the right kavana, cry out to him earnestly with one mouth. How do we cry out with one mouth? He's speaking of liturgical prayer here. He's speaking of synagogue prayer. You know, you do the kedusha in the synagogue prayers. That we may come to share in his great and glorious promises. For he says, and he's quoting now again from Isaiah, and Paul also quotes this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man what great things he has prepared for those who patiently wait for him. Which is a reference to the world to come. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. In the Talmud, it talks about the Messianic era is like this, the Messianic era is like that. We're going to have this in the Messianic era, we're going to have this in the Messianic era. And they say, well, what about the world to come? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not even entered into the heart of man. In other words, nobody's even conceived of what God has prepared for the righteous in the world to come. So you get, this is the reward of the deeds. So Clement established for us in the midst of this chapter, a couple chapters ago, that anyone who's ever been justified has been justified by faith, right? And he drove that home. But then the whole rest of the time he's been hammering on deeds, works, right? So I'm going to ask you the question that I kind of threw out at the beginning. What do you think he's doing? What do you think he's countering in Corinth with these passages? What is the new teaching in Corinth that has overrun the congregation, that the new leadership has come up and is proclaiming and has dislodged the old leadership with?
Gnosticism.
It's not, you know, that's, it's Gnosticism is too far. Gnosticism is a couple steps too far. Yeah, same thing.
James addresses is, I'll show you my faith by my works. That whole thing about, it's about faith. It's what you believe and not what you do. It's
right.
What's
right.
The church today.
Yes. Yeah, basically the same thing. I think it's a misappropriation of Paul. I think the Corinthians are very devoted to Paul, which makes sense. He's their apostle. And they have this collection of Pauline writings, and they've misunderstood the new order in Corinth, and the new teachers in Corinth have misunderstood Paul's writings to be a grace versus works message, just like is common in the rest of the church even to this very day. And I think this is the issue that Clement is trying to take on here and trying to bring correction. He thinks if he can bring correction to this issue, then people will say, oh, we really were wrong about this. We need to put the old guys back in because these guys are leading us down the wrong path. All right. Okay, that's all for tonight then. That's
What do you think they would have been teaching that people would have wanted to hear that was different, the eldership that's in power now is really driving home its foe and doing all these good deeds, and the new leadership would be saying, embrace your neighbor's wife any way you want because you're not justified by your work.
Well, it is Corinth. Yeah. No.
Real loose. We want to be a little more relaxed here, and you old-timers are really stifling us, and you don't get involved anyways.
Yeah, I think that's the general... The general consensus there is, I think the new leadership says a lot. They say, people just don't get grace. They don't just, they're just not, you need to get grace. Grace is so much, and that sort of thing. And there's just a spirit of judgmentalism, and they would say that sort of thing. They'd probably say that. Like, the old leaders just have this spirit of judgmentalism, and they just really don't, and that kind of thing. And
you guys are so uptight.
All right.